talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell.
Welcome to the second hour, Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Radio from Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and soon other cities. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And this one is a doozy. Let me tell you something. We spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about the records at Mar-a-Lago, how it had top secret information, some of the most secret information, top secret in the government, including the identities of foreign spies whose lives are in danger if it is revealed who they are. And frankly, if you even reveal what it is they told us, the people in their countries will know who it is and will kill them. And we talked about how Trump still has documents down there, about how his lawyer wrote a statement that was false in June saying that he turned over everything. Trump himself said he turned over everything. All they had to do was ask. For 17 months, they asked. They did everything they could not to execute a search warrant, and then they went in. Then they saw a surveillance video showing that Trump had moved documents out of that storeroom and put it in other unmarked boxes, taken it somewhere else. They don't know where it is. They won't until they talk to him. He won't talk. This has the identities of agents in other countries and nuclear secrets. The question arises, why did he do this? And not only why did he do it, but once they realized he'd done it, why didn't he give it back? Why has on three occasions, he or his lawyer lied and said that he gave it all back? Why did he move stuff into other boxes and take it out, perhaps out of Mar-a-Lago, certainly out of that area of Mar-a-Lago? When they went on the search warrant, they found top secret documents in the basement. They found them on the closet of his floor in his office, and they found it, believe it or not, in a dressing room in a bridal suite over the ballroom that hadn't been used for a while. They don't know if there's documents in Bedminster, in New Jersey, his other property, or New York. They don't know if he's turned them over to foreign governments and to whom. All he had to do, he didn't have a lock on the door. I mean, all he had to do was, he meets with the Russians, you know, without Americans present anyway. Yeah, there's a storeroom there, and it's not guarded. That's all he had to say. Well, this has been described as the worst counterintelligence failure the country has faced, the threat since the Cold War. And it's not alone. I'm about to get to one that just blew me away. Some journalists 2 years ago, just so you know, 2 years ago, using a 17-foot boat and a 2-foot wireless antenna. So they're out on the water beyond where the Secret Service would see him. And they were able to tap into the Wi-Fi network at Mar-a-Lago. It's encrypted weekly. It's re-encrypted weekly because China's doing this too, and Russia, Iran, and elsewhere are paying people to do it. We had a couple of journalists 2 years ago, using a 17-foot boat and a 2-foot antenna, were able to penetrate the encrypted Wi-Fi network. And Trump, all the time, I mean, he'll even talk, he talked about North Korean Kim Jong-un out loud at a dinner in a public dining room with diners around. Some of them were sort of scandalized. You know, you can pick up a conversation with a directional mic from across the room. You can pick it up from outside. He was treating a public dining room, and now apparently the dressing room in a bridal suite, his office closet, basement where they keep towels near the pool. Top secret documents. Republicans are saying, oh, you should have asked. They asked for 17 months. Anyway, a woman during all this came to Mar-a-Lago. A woman named Anna de Rothschild. Now, Rothschild is a very famous name in European history, going back hundreds of years. It was a powerful, wealthy family that was very, very active in government, civic affairs, finance for a long time, and still is. And Trump, as you know, loves prestige. He loves association with famous people. So they let her into his inner circle. There are pictures of her having dinner with his kids. She had the run of Mar-a-Lago, except for one thing. Her name was not Anna de Rothschild. She was a Russian spy. Her name was Anna Yashinshin, Russian-speaking, lived in the far eastern part of Ukraine, controlled by Russia. And she had the run of Mar-a-Lago. And not only that, was fawned on by Trump, because all she had to do was say she was a Rothschild. The Secret Service does not do background checks now that he's no longer president and who he hangs around with. I mean, if somebody comes near him, he has to approve it. I mean, in a pinch, I suppose, if they were smart, they'd have metal detectors for people coming to a banquet he's going to be at. I don't even know if they do that. They didn't check out Anna de Rothschild. And you know the sad thing? This story was broken by the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania paper. Not by the New York Times, not by the Washington Post, not by the networks. I mean, there's no security down there. And there were these incredibly, incredibly classified. And when I say incredibly, I mean top secret classified human intelligence. Some of them cannot be shared with other countries, including allies. Remember, we talked in the first segment about the Five Eyes, EYES. It's a coalition of United States, Canada, the UK, Australia, and New Zealand, freely shares information about terrorism, freely shares information about Chinese penetration in the Pacific. Kind of a mini Pacific NATO, although beyond the Five Eyes, you also have Vietnam and the Philippines, who are allied with us in a lot of this, but they don't get this information. And what do you think they think when they see that some woman can just go in because she has a foreign accent? She didn't even have a French foreign accent. She had a Russian foreign accent. And say, I'm Anna de Rothschild. Oh, really? Okay, yeah. I'm a Kennedy. I'm a Roosevelt. Okay, I mean, a Churchill. I mean, what is this? These people are beyond naive except for one thing. Why did Trump move documents in June? This is on surveillance video, on June 22nd, surveillance video this summer, out of that unlocked storeroom after he'd said to them and his lawyer put in a written statement that they turned over everything. Why did he continue to conceal it to the point of taking it out somewhere else where we don't know where it went? Why did he do that? He didn't do that out of sentimentality, because he likes reading this stuff. He said, well, all they had to do was ask. They asked for 17 months. They were given statements they knew were false. They have surveillance video showing that he further hid it. That is obstruction on steroids. That's obstruction in spades. And you have the Republican leadership, almost to a man and woman, except for Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, defending him, saying, why didn't they ask? Okay, they did for 17 months. Why didn't they ask again? And you say, well, this video showing that they hauled it out of there after the FBI meeting in June and stuck it in other boxes and took it away. And they, with a straight face, they'll say, well, why didn't they ask why they did that? Why didn't they ask why they did that, where they took it? Trump, lied and said it didn't happen. Well, why don't you ask him again? You see, when Joe Biden in Maryland the other day over the weekend described the Republican Party as semi-fascist, he was absolutely right. And, you know, the Republicans turn that around. They go, oh, you're attacking Republican voters. No, we're not. Republican voters are Americans, just like Democratic voters. People vote for different parties. They go back and forth. It is leadership. It is Kevin McCarthy. It is people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert. And you can say, okay, they're not leadership. Right, they're not. But it's Elise Stefanik and Steve Scalise. You know, it's even crooked little Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio and Cruz and Hawley and Cotton. You even had Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, who is trying to run for president. And let me tell you something. You see all these characters running for president. They're not running for president. They're running for vice president. They're trying to look like they have some chops. They get around. They just hope somebody picks them up because nobody knows who they are. And even the clown Sununu, the clown, got on television and said it was wrong to go into Mar-a-Lago. They should have worked with him. They should have asked. How many months do you have to work with somebody who is hiding the names of our foreign agents who can be killed? I mean, how many months? Here, they did it for 17 months before the execution of the search warrant. In my view, that was too long. It would have been justified to go in immediately. But they assumed a former president, he's not doing this. You assume he's not doing this to betray the country. He's sloppy. He's undisciplined. Okay, we'll get it back. And then they realized he was transferring it out of there. Then they realized he's hiding these documents, top secret documents. They don't know where they were sent. Going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. Broke my will, but what a thrill.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to talk about a couple of foreign policy things. Makes you very glad that we live in the United States and especially resolved to stop the destruction of our democracy by the Republican Party. Merry old England. Then you get a new prime minister. Boris Johnson got eased out. And there is election for his successor. And you might say, oh, there's an election for his successor. Everybody gets to vote. Well, no, they don't. This is how it works in England. They are not a democracy. They're a republic. You know how everybody in the right wing of the Republican Party says, we are a republic, not a democracy? That's not true. The United States is a republic because we don't have a king, but we are also a democracy. Over in England, they're not even a republic in the sense that there is a queen, but they're certainly not a democracy. They're tolerant. They don't have a First Amendment, believe it or not. They don't have a Second Amendment, believe it or not. They're tolerant. They're our allies, good people. But here's what's going on. There are Boris Johnson steps down. So how does his successor get voted in? By the people? No, not by the people. Initially, there was a vote by fewer than 400 members of parliament, leaders in the Tory party, who chose two people for everybody to choose among or between. They decide who the two people were. There were no primaries. And by the way, there are two people, when I say that people can vote on, no, they can't vote on them. You know who gets to vote on them? About 160,000 people out of the whole country, they're dues-paying members of the Tory party. Dues-paying members of the Tory party. That's who's going to pick the prime minister. By the way, the word Tory is a Gaelic word, an Irish word. I don't know if you knew that, from the 1600s. And it means thief or plunderer, because the English went into Ireland and Scotland and killed a lot of folks and stole their farms. So the Tory party is well named. She's trying to channel Margaret Thatcher. She dresses like Thatcher. She says Thatcher stuff. Margaret Thatcher was a right winger, very destructive individual, imposed a hard border in Ireland and caused a lot of damage, insulted France. We need a prime minister of the UK who understands that they are part of the European Union. Get the heck back in the EU. Get rid of Brexit, for Pete's sake. Forget Margaret Thatcher. Forget thieving and plundering, which is just a historical reference from the 1600s that I find amusing. And eventually, how about amending your constitution, which, by the way, has never been written down. It's an oral constitution. So you have more than 400 members of parliament pick the two finalists, and 160,000 dues-paying members of the Tories decide who is prime minister. We're going to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
A terrific show, as always, Matt. Very informative. And I was curious to get your reaction as a lawyer to some of the events that you had spoken, or the situations that you had spoken of in the last hour. And one of them was, the sense of what tremendous harm can be done to our national security out of the situation in Mar-a-Lago. I read, and I thought this was an important point, that you're going to have, at least a generation of confidential informers in other countries who are going to look at what has happened here at Mar-a-Lago, the way the files have just been porous, absolutely porous. Who knows who has them? Use that example of the spy from Russia, Rothschild, and what that person may have gotten a hold of. So you have the government bureaucrat in a country who may be willing to inform our government about situations in their country, but at great harm. Who's going to do that now if they know how porous our national security is? It's a tremendous blow for our national security to have this situation. And then you were speaking of the fact that literally no Republicans besides Cheney as a lawyer, when you look at that and you think of the number of Republicans in government, I mean, what would you think as a lawyer? I mean, it's almost like the dog who doesn't bark. Why would there be so many Republicans that would not comment on the situation of national security and instead would try to seek an explanation like, oh, they're just paper crimes, or, oh, the DOJ is being, focusing on being political? Doesn't, as a lawyer, if you look at the number of people who are wrapped up in the Republican Party who are refusing to say something, doesn't that suggest something to you about a larger conspiracy? I'm curious to get your reaction.
Yeah, that's a terrific question, Joe, as always your questions are. Yeah, and let me just pick up on that, and then if we're not done by the break, I will pick up on it afterwards. First of all, not only did a Russian spy get in there pretending she was a Rothschild, a Chinese spy got in there too, you remember last year, and was roaming around, and it's well known in the international community that he's sloppy with classified documents. But secondly, these documents included names and information from foreign spies who could be killed. And Trump has already compromised two spies, and I'll give you examples. One of them was the Israelis had a spy in the Al-Qaeda internet work, because he looked Arabic and, he spoke perfect Arabic. And he gave information to Israel, which gave it to us, about blowing up airplanes. Trump boasted to Sergey Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, that he had a spy, and so be careful with the airplanes on this, that, and the other thing. That immediately gets communicated to Iran, because Iran and Russia are together, and even though Iran is Shiite and Al-Qaeda is Sunni, they're all terrorists, and the Israelis barely got the guy out, pulled him out before he would have been captured and tortured. And this is Trump that blew it. One thing that most people don't know is when Trump was elected president, we had a guy who had penetrated Putin's inner circle. It was one of his social friends, one of his best friends. And a social friend, it'd be like he was a poker playing buddy, even though they don't play poker. And they immediately pulled him out, because they knew that Trump would say something and shoot his mouth off. Joe, we're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. But I'll get back to the rest of your great comments right after the break.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do. How can I?
Come back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to go to the lines. Don't hang up, but I first want to finish up with Joe of Madison. They're a great question and comment. Not only did Trump compromise an Israeli agent who had penetrated Al-Qaeda and was giving us valuable information, but he also compromised one of our agents in Putin's inner circle, his social circle. We had to pull him out because Trump, it was feared that Trump would compromise him too. But the other part of Joe's question is a good one. How could the Republican leadership, almost to a man and woman, except for Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, those two people, everybody else is standing up for Trump and attacking the FBI and the Justice Department on the following facts. For 17 months, Trump had top secret documents that he kept in an unlocked storeroom off a pool area. And then when they kept demanding them back, he'd give some, frequently magazine articles and things he'd torn up, and then transferred them to other boxes, just on surveillance video, and took them elsewhere. And then we finally went in 17 months later with a search warrant. They found documents on the floor of his closet, in his office, elsewhere in the basement area, and in a bridal suite dressing room over the ballroom that was unoccupied. There are no controls there. And a Russian spy pretending to be a Rothschild got into his inner circle, and a Chinese spy got in last year. And journalists with a 17-foot boat and a 2-foot antenna were able to penetrate the Wi-Fi at Mar-a-Lago that is encrypted every week, re-encrypted. Where did the documents go? They didn't all go to the dressing room and the bridal suite over the ballroom. Did they go to Bedminster? Are they, frankly, in Moscow? Or did Trump simply, he meets with Russians without any Americans present, just say, well, there's some stuff in a storeroom you might be interested in, and not actually show them himself because he owes them money or blackmail? And all those facts, and the fact is this, why were the names of our foreign agents and nuclear secrets in a unguarded, empty dressing room of a bridal suite over a ballroom? Why? Really? Why? How can you defend that? Lee Stefanik defended it. Steve Scalise defended it. I'm not just talking about Matt Gaetz and Lauren Boebert. And I'm not talking gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan and these kinds of, I'm talking about leadership. So Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and Lee Stefanik. I'm talking about Marco Rubio. I'm talking about Cruz, Cotton. I'm talking about people who are at the top of the Republican Party. Joe asked, you know, is this a conspiracy? It certainly is among leadership. If you think that they haven't discussed this, you're crazy. They have. But I think it's reflexive on the part of Republican congressional candidates and office holders around the country, minor offices, because this kind of thing, you know, trickles down. Leadership takes a stand and everybody follows. And the sad thing is, they think that this is what their base wants. Their base wants leadership. If somebody with unimpeachable Republican credentials got up and said, look, I'm a Republican's Republican, but I do not want the names of our foreign spies who will be captured and tortured and killed if they're disclosed, left on the floor of the dressing room of a bridal suite over a ballroom. I just don't want that. I just don't want that. That's not right. I think the average member of that base would say fine. Because there are a lot of military veterans in both parties, but there certainly are in the Republican Party too. And I served in the Navy with some of them. They were Republicans. They wouldn't have liked that. Their leadership, for some reason, thinks that they have to support Trump even when he commits treason. And that is wrong. Going to the lines, Nick of Lake Mills, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Nick?
Good morning, Sensei. What I was wondering was, like, if I went and committed a crime and, like, I went into a bank and I went and took, like, $1 million and I left and they got it all on surveillance camera, they see me, you know, they got my license plate or whatever, so I go home, I make it home, and they do a little investigation. They go, oh, yeah, that's Nick from Lake Mills. Let's head over there and let's go see what this guy's got. And then they get a warrant. They go into my house. And instead of finding $1 million, they find $700,000 and a bag and a mask and paints all over the place. Why wouldn't I get arrested right on? Why wouldn't I be arrested right in my driveway as they're going through my house and I'm standing there? They're like, guy comes out and he's holding a bag, goes, I found a bag with money in it, you know, or whatever. They're like, all right, we'll arrest him. Like, why didn't he get arrested immediately just for having possession of those documents? When they brought him out, they set him on a table and they flipped through him and they go, yeah, we got stuff. We got two or I'm looking at two or three right now. We'll go through the rest of it later, but cuff him. Like, just arrest him and we'll do it. We'll figure it out later. Like, he's already committed the crime. They already got him. So what are they waiting for? I'll take your comments off the air if you have any. Thanks, Matt.
That is an excellent question. I'll tell you what it is. Because of two things. One is he's a former president. And they're afraid to do that. And number two, they're afraid of violence because they saw what happened on January 6th. And he's gotten away with threatening violence a lot. And let me tell you something. With Hillary Clinton, he said the Second Amendment people should take care of her. Secret Service could have arrested him for that. You can't say that. But he was a candidate. Then he told people at his rallies, beat up these protesters and I'll pay your legal fees. That's a crime. And he did not even get arrested for that. Then third, you go on and you have January 6th and the entire Republican Party is getting behind him. Here is a very sad fact. If Nick of Lake Mills or Matt of Milwaukee did this, we would have been arrested months ago. Months ago. This subpoena, this search warrant would have been executed back in the winter or even last year. If you have even a small percentage of the country, say 30%, that swallowed the Kool-Aid and the Republican leadership are behind them, they're afraid to do it. The way you set it out is exactly correct. If this were a drug cartel or the mafia or anything, even a bank robber, absolutely right, even a bank robber, you have the evidence right there. You arrest them. Because here's the thing, Nick, there are documents with spies' names on it and nuclear secrets somewhere we don't know now. We don't know who he gave them to. Because the surveillance video in June showed them taking them out of the boxes and putting them in other boxes. In other words, not just moving boxes, going through boxes and taking stuff and putting another one and hauling it away. Why did he do that? He did not do that just for nostalgic reasons. He wanted to look at this thing later on. Somebody is going to be reading those, and it ain't us, because he won't give them to us. To me, that means Russia, China, or Iran. And he has a history with Russia. And a Russian spy got in there recently and said she was a Russian. She walks in. I mean, what the heck? I go walk in. Oh, I'm a relative of John Kennedy. Oh, great. Let's have dinner. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm a Rothschild. I'm a Habsburg. They ruled Europe for 700 years. I'm a Habsburg. Oh, great. Come on. You're absolutely right. Going back to the lines. Randy of Madison, you're next, my friend. What's your mind today, Randy?
Good morning, Matt. Sorry, I'm just kind of blanking here. I have to agree with Jack Beatty, a call on public radio that said that the Republican leadership is giving hypocrisy a bad name. The And this with Trump, this goes back to January or February of 2017 when they launched that god-awful raid in Tunisia using one of the SEAL teams that that failed completely. And though they tried to make it look like it was this intelligence triumph. And they were, the team was watching it on video at Mar-a-Lago. And with its waiters coming in and out, and as far as I know, public able to do that. It was about as secret as a circus. And it's been like that that ever since. I think the Republican leadership just they like Trump's bullying. So the fact that Trump couldn't keep a secret for more than 3 seconds just doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. And let me build on that, because that's an important point. Why is Elise Stefanik and Steve Scalise and Kevin McCarthy doing this? Because if you look at the recent rounds of primaries, Trump had a lot of success in people that he endorsed winning, because all it takes is a plurality. That means not a majority, not over 50%, but you have to just get one more vote than the other guys. And he has his base of 30 or 35%. And they're afraid. They would rather stay in power and see what? That paper with our spies' names on it and nuclear secrets on the floor of a closet in a basement area off a pool in the dressing room of a bridal suite over a ballroom, stuck in a box and taken somewhere else, and we don't know where it is. That's okay with them if they can stay in power. That's betraying the country. That is wrong. Randy, thanks for calling. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your name? Mark from the SAC.
Yeah, you're talking about all these other people that were handling these documents, you know, that, and for some of those documents, you had to have clearances to handle those documents. Any of those people handling those documents, helping them sort through the documents, moving those boxes around, just arrest them. I mean, they're part of it, that they had no business handling those documents. The baseline here is that none of those documents should have been gone down to Mar-a-Lago. Absolutely none of them. Classified, unclassified, doesn't matter. None of them should have gone there in the first place. He did not deliver them back when requested. I mean, that's the point, that people need to get through their thick heads. I don't know if it's stupidity or ignorance. I mean, you can cure ignorance, but you can't clear stupidity. And these people refuse to look at, you know, take whatever's covering their eyes up, where they can't see that this guy has committed a crime in front of the American people, literally in front of our eyes, because they got all this stuff on tape, and they just refuse to admit that this guy was a criminal. They're willing to accept this criminal behavior on the part of this guy because he's, I don't understand. I guess they just don't care, because they want to remake America in some twisted image of a neo-theocratic fascist state, and that's what they want, and they're willing to go to all lengths to do it. I mean, these people are completely ignorant of what the rule of law actually means. I mean, that it's despicable that this man is able to get away with this stuff, and he's got networks are, CNN is changing the way it's done doing things because they're afraid they're being perceived as being to having a liberal bias. Well, what are they supposed to have, you know, a Trump-supporting bias like Fox News has had for the past umpteen years? Are the rest of the news media just overlooking this guy's crimes? This guy committed a crime by taking any of those documents out of the White House, period. And he didn't give them back when asked. Well, he didn't give them back when asked. He didn't give them all back. We don't, like you said, we don't know if half these documents are sitting in the House of Saud right now, where Bone Saw is gleaming through them to see what he can gain from them too.
Yeah, you're making excellent points, Mark. We're going to a break. I'm going to reply to you fully offline or after the break, but I will leave it to you at this and ask this question: why did he do it? Why did he not disclose it 3 times? And then transfer boxes out of there to continue to avoid it. What is the purpose? Is it money, blackmail? They're there to be shown to somebody. Going to a break. The lines are open. Do not hang up. I see you. 844-967-2789. Get back to you right after the break. Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. Finally, to respond further to Mark from the SAC, absolutely right. And I have a base question. Why did Trump do this? Why did he wait a year till January of 22 to turn back any documents? Why did he falsely say in June that they'd all been turned back? Why in later June is there a video, camera video, showing them unloading stuff out of those boxes and other boxes and taking them elsewhere where we don't know? Who's going to read these? Why did he do it? Why does he continue to do it? Why is the Republican leadership, not the outliers, I'm talking about Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and Lee Stefanik in the Senate, standing up for Trump? Why? Why? Going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Hey, good morning, Matt. Well, at least anyway, we have a excellent president now, Joe Biden. Thank God he's in there. But if I would have taken this kind of stuff, or I didn't have quite privy that high, I had a pretty high security clearance, or if I'd have taken anything like this off the Army, an Army base, I'd still be in Leavenworth. And I don't know how you feel about in the Navy, if you're taking classified information off the base and they had you on camera, you'd be in Leavenworth with me. Is that correct?
Yeah, not only would I be, you remember Chelsea Manning, and she was she changed genders, but she was an Army guy who did this and got a long prison term. Finally, Obama pardoned her because of, you know, the transgender stuff in prison. But when I was in the Navy, there were occasionally people who were cryptology custodians. I was on a small ship, so we used I was called the RPS custodian. They used rotors. It was very primitive. But if I'd even taken that off the ship onto the dock, if I've even put it in my car and tried to drive off the base, I'd have been arrested. And that was trivial compared to this. What's going on here, Paul, is that these are documents that show foreign spies who will be killed if their identity is disclosed. And if even the information they gave is disclosed, the other countries can reverse engineer who did it and kill them anyway and their families. And secondly, nuclear secrets. And why did he go to this length to do this? What is the purpose? What is the motive? In motive, experienced detectives always say, follow the money. Follow the money. Trump does everything for money. Somebody made the point the other day that all of this outrage, and, you know, he demands the disclosure of the affidavit. Then when it's disclosed, he shouts again because he fundraises off it. Takes in $1 million a day. He doesn't have as much cash as you think. He's already put together about $250 million from attacking the government. And the sad thing is, I do not think the Trump base are bad people, just like anybody else's base. These are Americans. Some are veterans, some aren't. They're all good people, and they follow leadership. And all they want is leadership. And if you had a Republican minority leader, an assistant minority leader, and caucus chair, and you didn't have Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and Elise Stefanik, but you had people like Liz Cheney, Adam Kissinger, and others, they'd stand up for Republican principles, and they'd be conservative. But they would say, we are Americans first, country before party. There was an old saying in our democracy is that partisan disputes end at the shores of the United States. If you go to Europe or you go to Asia and you're a senator or you're a congressman, you do not criticize the United States. You do not criticize the incumbent president, even if he's in another party. The Republican Party has betrayed that. And here they betrayed it in spades by standing up for a guy who is on video in June after several times lying about turning everything over, including in writing, transferring documents out of one box into another and hauling it away. Why? Why did he do that? Well, I suppose we should have at least one local issue today. Robin Voss withdrew the subpoenas that Michael Gableman had issued to local officials over that 2020 election. Voss fired Gableman, as you know, not because Gableman's a fraud, but because Gableman supported his opponent in the primary the other week. He withdrew the subpoena and the motion to jail local officials. They're no longer asking that the mayor of Madison and Green Bay be thrown in jail. That's great. That's great. But it still takes legal work to withdraw this, and that's being paid by taxpayers. Gableman got over $100,000 in salary. $100,000 in salary. His staff got $20,000 a month, and then he incurred $250 in fines and penalties for insulting the judge, opposing counsel, filing frivolous documents, and generally committing misconduct in front of the court. Some of his subpoenas were for the records in Madison and Green Bay of Dominion voting machines and voting machine serial numbers, but Madison and Green Bay don't use Dominion voting machines, and there's nothing wrong with Dominion voting machines anyway. This was a clown show, a fraudulent clown show right from the start, designed to appease Trump, to basically they were being blackmailed and you were paying for it. And I was paying for it. Taxpayers are paying for it. Gableman should return the $100,000. Voss should demand it. And if he doesn't, the Republican Party should pay it. There is no way that the taxpayers should pay fines and forfeitures for misconduct. Those are that's penalties for misconduct. The taxpayers should not be paying that. Gableman and Voss and the Republican Party should be paying that. It's simply wrong what happened. More than $1 million was spent, and if you put in the forfeitures and penalties, it's $1,250,000 and a little more, actually. Be another $50,000 in attorney's fees to unwind this, appear before the court, give reasons why you're withdrawing stuff. The Republican Party is using our money for political purposes, nefarious political purposes, wrong political purposes, fraudulent scam purposes. Coming to the end of the show, great show, great call-ins as always. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.